Kind of fast, kind of not. Either way, always running or talking about it. Welcome to the Kind of Fast podcast, powered by Upward Running. Let's get into it.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Kind of Fast podcast, the show where we talk running, real life, and everything in between.
So whether you are a new runner lacing up for your first mile, or you're a seasoned pro, you're chasing a big PR this fall, this podcast is going to be for you. We share tips, encouragement, and plenty of laughs along the way.
Yeah, today we are going to kick things off with one of our segments called What Does That Even Mean? And this week's term is active recovery. I picked this one out especially for the Couch to Marathon group that just started with Upward Running because they have active recovery on their schedule for this week. After that, we are going to talk about the news, which is one of my favorite segments. Travis, what are we going to talk about in the news?
Yep. We've got a shark attack survivor running the New York City Marathon. We have the science behind the pre-run coffee, which I am not even sure about yet, but I'm sure you're going to tell us more about, and I'm excited to hear about that. And then we have some news around the Strava Garmin lawsuit that is interesting in the running world. And so we'll give you what you need to know about that one.
Yeah, we are also going to bring back a fun segment called the viral video of the week, where we are going to show our viewers and then kind of talk through for our listeners a viral video that I thought was hilarious and relatable. After that, we're going to talk about our last three items from Coach Dean of why you're not getting any faster.
Yeah, everyone wants to see themselves continue to progress. Sometimes you hit these plateaus. We talked about three of those things last week. You'll get the final three here. So I think that'll be a good one here. He brought us good information last week. And so this is going to help you get back on track.
Let's get into it. Drum roll, please. It's time for What Does That Even Mean? The part of the show where we break down a running buzzword that some people might not know, myself included, most of the time. Today's word is active recovery.
So active recovery, what is that exactly? It is just light movement that's going to help your muscles heal. You're going to give you reduced soreness, and it's going to start that recovery process through movement. What you want is your blood flow to get going in those muscles, and that's even better than just sitting completely still on the couch there. That's really going to kick that off for you.
Exactly. So it's not another true workout. Think of it as a reset. So walking, yoga, easy biking, that's what I've been doing on Wednesdays as part of my training plan. It should feel restorative and not exhausting.
I've had a coach kind of put it two different ways. He would say motion equals lotion. So, you know, you're getting a massage, you're getting the lotion in there. And so he would say that motion gets you moving, and that's the lotion that helps get some of that recovery kicked off and some of that soreness out of your body. And the other thing he would say is like movement equals blood flow, which equals healing. So without that movement, you don't get the blood flow going. You don't get the healing that you would otherwise. You know, you talked about yoga, biking, walking, things like that. I would also say it means running sometimes too. But that depends on where you are in your fitness level. So for these couch to marathon folks, that is not running for sure in this first segment. But for me, a 3 to 5 mile, super slow, like what I would call a glacially slow run is absolutely active recovery for me. I'm getting the blood flow going to a point that that I'm feeling better at the end of that run than I did to start, and my heart rate's never really getting that high, and it can be a good thing to do it that way too.
So key here, keep your heart rate low. The goal is to keep your body loose and happy and moving, and you probably won't be as sore if you put this into normal practice as well.
Yeah, for sure. Coach Dean always says, recovery is where the real growth happens. That's when your body adapts, rebuilds, and gets stronger. This is something I had to learn throughout my years of running. Like, I always thought that it was about the big, hard workouts, and that's where the growth happens. And that's part of it, but it's the recovery on the backside of those where your body, you know, is basically broken down, then rebuilds back stronger than it was before. And that's where you get stronger as an athlete. And so that's what we're trying to do through active recovery here.
So if you see it on your plan, do not skip it.
Yeah, get out, get a walk in, get a little bit of movement somehow, stroll around the neighborhood, any of that type of thing would be great as a first step into active recovery.
All right. And there you have it. Active recovery. We are going to switch gears a little bit and segue into the arguably best part of the show, the news.
I love this segment because I never know where you're going to go on some of these topics. Sometimes it's like right in my wheelhouse because it's world championships and it's like Chicago Marathon upcoming this week. I'm sure we'll probably talk about that next week. So that's like right in my wheelhouse. And then sometimes it's shark attacks. So I think that's your first story here. Tell me a little bit about that.
It is. And you're probably wondering, how is a shark attack relating to running? But it is. So get this. 2 years ago, there was a young girl named Allie Truitt who was snorkeling in the Turks and Caicos, having a really good vacation. And then she was attacked by a shark and the shark took her foot. She lost her foot through this. Fast forward to now, and she has been training for the New York City Marathon, which is coming up on November 2nd.
10 days before the shark attack, I ran a marathon with my mom on Mother's Day. Little did I know that just days later, a shark would bite off my foot and part of my leg. I can still remember laying on the floor of the boat, looking up at the first responder, Matthew, and joking, "Well, at least I got my marathon in before this." And without missing a beat, he looked right back at me and told me, "You'll run another one." Well, Matthew, you were right. I will run another one. I am so excited and a lot nervous to announce that this fall, I will be running the New York City Marathon alongside none other than my mom and a team of so many incredible friends and family as we work to raise money for my nonprofit, Stronger Than You Think. Stay tuned to see my journey to 26.2 miles on one leg.
Great story there. And for sure, this is a kind of fast approved story here. And we'll be checking out to see how you do in the New York City Marathon.
Yes, I will definitely be reporting back. So stay tuned in the future news segment. So moving right along, staying kind of with the news lane, we're going to switch gears more. We're going to talk about coffee.
Coffee has always been one for me that I'm not sure what I should be doing. So I'm hoping you're going to teach me something here because I'm a coffee drinker on a normal morning. I would say that on most running mornings, it is after I run that. But I know that there's benefits to caffeine. And I know that some of the gels that I take have caffeine in it. So I'm not sure what exactly I should be doing here. So teach me something.
I will teach all our listeners and Travis something, which I normally don't get to do.
Yeah,
I feel excited. Okay, so this article is actually from the Marathon Handbook. And it's talking about, should you drink coffee before you run? According to the research, caffeine actually does help your performance. It's what's called you guys have been with us for a while now. You know I can't pronounce words. Aerogenic? Aerogenic?
That's Travis approved if you needed that.
Aerogenic acid, meaning it can help your body perform better and feel less tired. So basically, caffeine helps you go faster, feel stronger, and delay that I'm totally done feeling. It also increases your alertness, helps your body burn fat for fuel, and can even improve your endurance. One study actually found that people went almost 4 minutes longer before exhaustion when they had caffeine versus not.
4 minutes. I mean, that is a massive amount of time. Now, I don't know what they're defining as exhaustion there, but certainly if that means that you got 4 more minutes of running your marathon pace and that's the last 4 minutes of a marathon or something like that, that could be just what you needed to get you to the finish line.
Yep, totally agree. The sweet spot for about how much caffeine you want, though, is about 3 to 5 milligrams of caffeine per kilogram of body weight. But I mean, that's basically just fancy science talk for a cup of coffee. So
who in the United States is transferring that to kilograms? I have no idea how many kilograms I weigh. Zero idea.
But that's what it said. So basically stick with a cup of coffee. And they also said to drink it about 30 to 45 minutes before your run. So that way it kicks in at the right time.
And that's a key thing because sometimes caffeine can kick off some, let's say, gastro things as part of that. So 30 to 45 minutes before the run.
Yep. Yep. That gives you enough time to, you know, go to the bathroom before you start your run. And that way you avoid any emergencies on the course.
But still get the benefit of the caffeine.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool.
Exactly.
Or if you're doing a little real long run, maybe until you get your next hit of caffeine from a gel or something like that.
That's true. So do you drink? I mean, I know you kind of said that you drink coffee after your run. Have you ever like made a practice of drinking coffee before your runs?
I've never. And I've been worried that like on a race day, the last thing I want is to have to stop mid-race. So I have avoided it pre-races before. And in fact, if I'm taking a series of gels throughout a race in a marathon, I'll save the caffeine versions of it until later in the race to try to maybe give me a little extra jolt there at the end, and also shorten the amount of time that you could have, you know, GI issues based on the caffeine. So that's how I've always done it. And, you know, 2 weeks before my marathon, and probably how I will continue to do it, given I haven't tested this new theory that you're bringing here today. But that's how I've always kind of thought about it.
So it's interesting that you use caffeine in your gels, because I get the ones that don't have caffeine in them. Does it make your heart feel like it's going to explode?
No, I don't feel that. But I do recall one time specifically where I felt a difference between the regular, it was the same brand gels. Some had it and some didn't. And there was, whether it was in my head or not, no one can know the placebo effect of it. But I felt like I'd been taking these along the way and they had, and I'd felt a certain way. And then when I started taking the caffeine ones, it seemed to give me a little bit more pep in my step to the finish line. And so, since then I've continued to do it that way.
Nice. I kind of want to try that maybe for my next training block. But listeners, do you drink coffee before your races, or do you use gels with caffeine? I want to know. Yep. Market research.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did a little bit more research about this, and I wanted to see if any of the pros were drinking coffee before.
Mm-hmm.
And they are.
Yeah.
Okay. So first up, we have Molly
Seidel.
Thank you. Which is an American long distance runner. And
one of my favorites.
I knew it. I knew I recognized her name.
Yes.
She mentioned in an interview that she enjoys a cup of coffee before her runs, but sometimes switches to decaf in training so she can save the caffeinated boost for race day.
I like that. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of people talk about saving your carbon fiber plated shoes until you have really big workouts or race day, so that you're not running in those all the time and that you feel a bump on the days that you are wearing that higher end running shoe. So this is the same type thing there.
Yep. So that's what she does. Next up, we have, you guys, bear with me, Shanley Flanagan.
No, Shalane Flanagan.
Shalane wow.
Lane Flanagan, American royalty of distance running, yes, but retired now. So if you're just getting out into the sport now, you might have missed that name along the way.
See, yeah, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. Who? She's actually won the New York City Marathon, by the way. She told ESPN that she wouldn't go to the starting line without a cup of coffee.
That makes sense. She's got this epic, you know, arms out picture as she's coming to the finish line of New York City that year. So I remember that for sure.
With coffee?
No, that coffee was long gone by that point.
All right. Next up, we are going to talk about, why did I take all the names? Why did I do this to myself?
What's your story? This is the coffee edition with your story. I do see your notes here. So Aisha Prout.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yep. So she said that she has a small black coffee in the morning and then a 3-shot Americano an hour before she warms up.
See, I like this idea and I would love to do it if I had enough time to test this theory out a little bit more now that I hear the science behind some of this stuff here. So I love the 3-shot Americano. Yeah. Good idea.
No. Like, terrible idea.
Why just 3? Let's go 5. Let's go all in.
I'd be running real fast, but it would be to the bathroom and not the start of the race.
Yeah.
But, well, the verdict is You can have coffee.
And it will help your performance.
Apparently so.
Yeah. I like it.
Yep. All right. Maybe just stick with one cup, though. Not three shots or five, Travis. Okay. Last but not least in the news category, I think we've all heard of Garmin. And I think we've mostly all heard of Strava. Well, have you seen the Garmin Strava thing?
A little bit.
Okay.
If you got a little more information here, I think that'd be interesting. So I think this is going to be okay in the end, but what's the latest here?
Okay. Well, the lowdown, or is it down low?
Either work.
Okay. The lowdown down low of this is that Strava actually filed a lawsuit in federal court in Colorado saying that Garmin infringed patents tied to segments and heat maps, and even wants a permanent injunction that could block Garmin from selling things with these features.
Yeah. Big news.
And huge.
I will say that as someone who uses both of these things, you could kind of see where maybe that's coming from.
I guess. I really don't use Garmin heat maps, though. And to be honest, I don't even use Strava heat maps.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What even is a heat map?
I think it's just an interesting thing. You can look at your like all-time history, and I really just do it on Strava, but you can look at your all-time history and kind of see the more you run in an area or a specific road or route, it turns that more red or orange or whatever their color is on that. And so you can kind of see the places where you spend the most times running there. But then if you take an even expanded out view, as much travel as I do for work and that kind of thing, you can see, all right, that's when I ran in New York, and that's when I ran in Kansas City, and that's when I ran in San Francisco. And you got these little blips all over the map of places you've run because it's on the heat map there.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
The other thing that it can do is if you are in a new town and you want to know where all the other runners are running, like where are the popular routes, you can look at it for not just yourself, but for the city. And you can go, oh, everyone's running around that lake. That must be a great little running path there.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That would have helped me a lot about 3 weeks ago when I was trying to find a place to run in Lawrence, South Carolina. Like, what is in Lawrence?
I don't even know where Lawrence, South Carolina is. So there you go.
Wow. Interesting. Very, very interesting. But the thing is here that Strava actually filed these patents in 2010 and 2011. So a long time ago, but it really kicked off in 2015, where there was a master corporation agreement of some sort. And that's, I mean, when they, as in Strava and Garmin, were partnering on some of these things. Mm-hmm. So I get it, but.
So from what I've heard is the syncing from Garmin and Strava continues. So they're not in such a fight where they're going, you can't use our stuff anymore, or we don't want to chat with you. But I think what I saw was they were asking the court to not allow Garmin to sell certain devices who are using that technology anymore. And so we'll see what the courts say on that. Either way, I think both companies are going to be fine. And I think it's much ado about nothing, but it is interesting. The two biggest players in the space would be fighting at all. So anyway, you can't steal someone else's stuff. That's for sure.
That's true. Well, you'll get an update here, I'm sure. Fascinating news. We'll keep you up to date, but let's move on to our viral video of the week.
All right. So what do we have? You've done some different ones. We even had one on basketball at one point in time, if I remember correctly. There's a viral video of the week.
But, we did.
What is the one for this week?
This video is actually from RunSphere, and honestly, it gets funnier every single time you watch it, because in the video, if you watch one kid, he is literally diving into this giant puddle in a cross-country race, and then if you look at it again, someone is carrying their friend through this puddle, and we're not talking like a puddle. We're talking shin waist-deep puddle in this video.
Yeah, small pond. That's a gross exaggeration for it, but it's like a creek or something. It's nasty for sure.
It is, but it was so funny. And I was laying in bed one night, I mean, probably 1 o'clock in the morning, just doom scrolling. And I watched this video probably 8 to 10 times and laughed harder every single time. I'm pretty sure I woke up my husband, but
you can see different things from different people. In college, like, we ran some terrible courses, and I'm really quite frustrated by it because I think I would have had some much faster PRs back in the day if we had run some better courses, but nothing this bad. This reminds me of like a European cross-country course where those folks run through mud on purpose. They jump over hay bales and they do things like that in cross-country in Europe. It's like a little different sport than we have here in the U.S. This just looks like a pretty terribly designed high school race, in my opinion.
Unless it just started downpour raining and they didn't know.
Yeah, but they even had like the guiding posts into it that
true.
Were this was on purpose.
True. That was on purpose.
So this was a mean course director that day.
Can you think about the shoes and how smelly they would be?
Yeah, that's hard to get those clean again.
I ran in high school a course, and it was a complete downpour. We were running through cow pasture. So as you can imagine, muddy cow pasture, downpour rain, it was muddy. And I stepped in a puddle, and my foot came out of my shoe, and RIP to my shoe.
Oh, you lost it.
I lost it. I lost it. My mom was so mad at me.
Yeah.
She's going to listen to this and probably get a kick out of it. But she was so mad because we couldn't find the shoe. Mm. And running shoes are not cheap.
No.
But I left it in the cow pasture.
Good on you.
That
tells me something about you. I like it.
There we go.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the main topic today. Keep this thing on the rails a little bit more. Last week, we talked about three reasons why you're stuck and not getting faster. It was part one of two from six reasons, ultimately, that Dean gave us, Coach Dean gave us on why people are not getting faster. So let's jump into number four. Reason why people aren't getting faster. What is that, Claire?
All right. Number four is ignoring weaknesses.
So Dean always says pain is information. If your knees hurt, if your calves are always tightened up, if your body's trying to tell you something, some of us ignore these signals. That's me for sure, or it has been in the past and just keeps pounding on those miles, but you got to develop that running intuition there. And so I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And he is not talking in the sense of listening to your body. If something hurts, stop every time. That is totally not what he is saying. It really means figuring out why it feels off. So Dean sees it all the time. Tight quads, weak hamstrings, hips that are not firing correctly. These little imbalances show up as pain later.
Yep. And if you're skipping strength or mobility, you're leaving holes in your training. And eventually those holes will catch up with you. And it doesn't have to be a full hour in the gym. Sometimes it can be, you know, 2 to 3 times a week where you're doing other things to help that. For me personally, I try to do 3 strength workouts a week. And those look like this. On Tuesday mornings, most of the time, I go and I meet with some guys from church, and we got a little group thing. We do a body weight exercise type thing. So it's like lunges and squats and push-ups and step-ups onto a bench and things like that. And so that's kind of number one. And then one other day I lift in the gym, kind of upper body, and one other day I lift in the gym, kind of lower body. And one of the things that I've learned over time is like, that doesn't have to be super heavy weight. If you miss one, okay. Like all of that's supplemental to the running. So if you get behind, like a couple weeks ago, I was gone 2 straight weeks for work, like no chance to lift or anything. In the past, that would have bogged me down. Mm-hmm. But now I just look at it as go, it's not the main thing. The main thing is running. I was running throughout the whole of that. But when I got the opportunity to come back to it, I tried to get back onto the schedule the best I could. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Have you always used weightlifting or weight training in your plans?
No, it's just new in the last 2-ish years. And it's really just as the injuries mounted, I was looking for ways that I could avoid those things. And so lifting has been it. And I attribute my health going into this marathon somewhat to that. Maybe a little lucky, but maybe it's because I've really spent the last year and a half, 2 years, spending more time trying to do other things there to try to stay healthy.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because this has been your healthiest race cycle yet.
This is my first marathon I'm running since 2018 where I'm going into the race healthy.
Knock on that wood. Knock on this table.
Knock on the wood. Yes. Week and a half to go.
Okay, so you mentioned runner's intuition a few minutes ago. Tell me more about runner's intuition.
Yeah, runner's intuition is listening to your body and going with what your gut is telling you. So there's sometimes that you can absolutely run through something that you're dealing with. And there's other times where you need to take a day or two or go consult someone who knows something better than you. Maybe it's an orthopedic doctor, maybe it's a physical therapist, maybe it's a massage therapist. The best person to do this is if you have a coach, reaching out to the coach. So for us at Upward Running, like going on our Upward Run Club boards and asking the group of runners that's out there, which would include Dean and Mitchell on there as well. You know, hey, I've got this thing going on. What do you guys think? Or logging on to Thursday Night Live and kind of seeing what Dean thinks specifically about your situation. That's a great thing about what we have to offer on that. But it's understanding what your body's telling you, but then most of the time you know in the back of your head, like, should I be running through this or should I not? And a lot of times I have just straight ignored that in my life and been like, but I'm tough and I'll run anyway. And, a couple times, like we talked about with my shin about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, you know, I was having the shin problem and I took 4 days off, which is unheard of for me. And that kind of resolved it. That was what my body was telling me to do. I did it and it worked out well for me.
That's great. So do you have a tip for someone who might not have done this in the past before? So what's your number one tip of trying to really hone in with your runner's intuition?
I would reach out to a coach or a longtime runner and get them to use their running intuition if you don't currently have that developed. Yes.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to number five. Getting in shape does not necessarily mean you're getting faster. So this one hit me when Coach Dean said this on the Thursday Night Live, which is where the segment originally came from. So if you are not familiar, every Thursday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard, Coach Dean gets on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and he has a chat with a certain topic, and you can ask him live questions.
Yeah. But specifically to your situation at times. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one really stood out to me on Thursday Night Live. Getting in shape and getting faster are not the same thing. You can run the same 3-mile loop every single day and feel healthier, but that won't necessarily make you a faster runner.
Yep. Your body adapts to whatever stress you put to it. If that stress never changes, the results really aren't going to change either. That's why Dean says, people who run the same exact pace, same exact route, same exact distance, and then they wonder why their 5K never improves, they just get into this rut or this plateau, and it's because they're not doing enough to really improve with different stimulus there.
Yeah, so thinking of it as lifting the same like 5-10 pound dumbbell every single day, at some point that's going to feel easy. Because your body's not going to be challenged anymore and it's adapted to that.
Yep. Your action step here is to mix it up. And so, you know, one of the things we say on this podcast pretty often, Dean and Mitchell would certainly talk about as our coaches, is, you know, your week should kind of look like this. You should have a long day, you should have a fast day, and you should have some recovery days in between. And those are nice and easy, active recovery or slow, you know, miles or something like that. And if you're doing that, that's going to be the polarization of workouts that's going to get you to where you want to go. And especially if you're working with a coach, those, say, speed days or those workout days are going to include different types of runs, which are going to hit on different things, which are going to help you improve.
So what about for the beginners who might not necessarily want to get faster right now and they're just starting out?
Yeah, right. There is a time period where it's about getting in shape, like we talked about, and really building the foundation that you need to be able to layer better and more training on top of that. And so certainly if you're just starting off, you're doing the Couch to Marathon with us, it's just starting off. The goal here for these first 12 weeks is just to get in good enough shape that we can complete that first 5K race. And then from there, we'll layer on a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. but in a safe way to hopefully keep you healthy, keep you engaged in what you're doing, and improve you along the way.
I love that. Yep. Thank you. Okay. Our last but not least, number six, is no race day plan. You go into a race without having a plan. Dean says that a lot of runners do everything right in their training and then blow it up on race day because they don't have a plan. They just show up, hope for the best, and they wing it.
Yep. And then mile two hits and there's a giant hill that they didn't expect. And then suddenly the whole race feels like a disaster and you are, you know, doing your best just to get to the finish line. So planning matters in these things.
It does. Take it from the court expert himself.
That's how I like to know the course for sure.
This means more than just picking a goal time. Think about the little details. What's your breakfast? How much water are you going to drink the day before? Do you know the course?
Right. And I think it's good to write these things down, even run it by your coach or run it by a seasoned runner that you know and say, here's what I'm thinking. To the level of like, race starts at 7:30. I'm going to be, you know, 30 minutes away. So that means I need to get up here. I need to have my coffee here. I need to eat this and this before I start. Then I'm thinking that these first couple miles, I'm going to run this pace. And then if I can pick it up to finish, this is how I'm going to finish and get some other input into it and get some other advice. I think that would be a really great way of doing it. All of this, again, kind of goes to where you are in your running journey. And remember, Dean's talking about here, how do you get unstuck? So that kind of goes to like the person that's been doing it for a little while, not their first race ever or their first time doing a certain distance ever. If that's you, then you don't know what you don't know going into a race. And so I get it if you don't have all of this planned out. But as you've done it for a while and as you want to continue to try to get better, I think this is the time to look at what your plan is, starting from when you wake up, to when you get to the start line and from the start line to the finish line, what does that plan look like?
I agree with that. And I will say for the beginners, you can look up on the race registration website to see where the aid stations are. That mm-hmm. could be your plan. As simple as knowing where your aid station is and if you're going to stop through the aid station and get a drink of water, even like having that planned out in your head will help a lot.
And let's define aid station because it's not like when I hear that, if I were a beginner, I would think like if I get hurt or something. No, we're talking water, Gatorade, or even gels or bananas at certain times in certain races. So that most of the time you'll have multiple water stops or drink stops throughout a race, depending on how long it is. So that's what you're talking about. And then other things you can look up on the website generally is what the course map looks like. And then most of the time, they'll also give you an elevation profile. And so that may be on the course map. It may be a separate link you got to look for, but that'll show you where the hills are and how substantial the hills are throughout the race.
So going into Columbus, mm-hmm. what's your race plan?
Still defining that completely. Ask me that next week. I'll give you a definitive answer. But right now, I'm thinking start out 30 seconds below like my goal marathon pace for mile one, mile two and three is getting as close to kind of my marathon pace as I can. And then mile four to 26, try to run as even splits as I can to the finish line. And then I've got some nutrition that I'm planning on taking throughout as far as gels and drinks. And then I need to look up what the aid station profile kind of looks of that. But by the time we record this next Monday, I'll have that all figured out. And I'll give you a full rundown of what a race day morning looks like and how I'm thinking through it. And maybe that'll help you in your next race day prep.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yeah.
He's going to bring some notes. Speaking of race day plans, you are 2 weeks away or 1 week away.
What week and a half.
Yeah. A week and a half away. So you are in full taper mode. What do you have going on in training this week?
Lowered my miles from where I'd been about 10 miles last week. I'm going to lower it about 8 more this week. Felt great on my run this morning. And so just slowly bringing the miles down. Legs are feeling pretty good. My back has been a little sore. And some of that's my own doing. Like I hurt it a little bit lifting a couple weeks ago and it's fine. Like it's not a big deal, but then I played golf yesterday and just, it feels terrible today. I don't expect it'll be a big problem by race day. I'll just know what to avoid over the next week and a half as it relates to that. But just a normal taper week for me and really trying to hone in on what my exact plan is going to be for the race and get that all ready to roll.
So Travis has the taper crazies.
A little bit. Like is the back really an issue or is that just me losing my mind because we're a week and a half out? I'm not sure.
Could be a mix of both. Yeah. Could be a mix of both.
Right.
For me this week, wait a minute. How many miles do you have this week?
I think I'll be about 32.
I'm going to beat you.
Ah.
Ah, yay! I can only beat you when you're hurt or when you're in taper. So.
What are you going to hit this week?
I think I'm going to be at 34.
Okay, I could be at 35. I mean, no big deal.
So. Oh my gosh, I should not have said anything.
Well, active recovery on Sunday. Just
no.
to bump it up a little bit more.
You got to watch your back, Travis. Okay. You got to watch your back.
Are you still in full on training mode though?
So I did back off a little bit last week. This week I'm backing off even more, I think by about 4 miles. I do have a speed workout, but it's not as hard of a speed workout. And then we're going like in full taper mode. So yeah. It's going to be back down and back down. I'm getting nervous.
What are you doing about the shoe situation for race day?
So I'm going to buy a brand new pair of shoes weekend.
Okay.
So next week on the podcast, I plan to bring them in.
Nice. I hadn't heard you talk about that in a while. And we talked about needing a race day shoe, but yep. I hadn't heard you saying you were going to get one yet.
Yep. So next week, I'm going to bring them in. And I don't plan to do a super long run in them because it's a half marathon. I don't think I need to do something super long, but I am going to do a speed workout.
That'd be fun. Like how many miles do you get in on a speed workout?
It depends. I mean, 6 to 8.
Yeah. I think if you can get to 7, 8 in a pair of shoes, you can feel good enough about, especially at the half marathon distance, that they're going to be fine for you on race day.
Right.
Yeah.
One way to find out. But with that, our time is up for this week. Don't forget, this podcast is powered by Upward Running, a community built to help you run with purpose, stay motivated, and find your people. Fun fact about Upward Running is that we actually just launched our guided runs today for the 5K challenge. So if you're looking for a guided run 5K challenge, we've got your back.
Guided runs, meaning if you are in one of these initial Couch to 5K type programs, which Couch to 5K is part one of the Couch to Marathon program. There's a lot of walking and running segments early on. And so what it will tell you is, all right, let's walk 5 minutes and then it'll audio prompt you in your ear. Let's run for 30 seconds or run for a minute or whatever the day is. And then, all right, walk, run, you know, those types of things.
Yeah.
It's been something they've been working towards for a little while and so excited to push that out as a new feature.
We are pumped. Pumped. I am so excited for this feature. But if you want to check it out, come check it out. As always, this journey is more than miles. God is in every step. The good runs, the bad runs, the tough days, the guided runs. He is with you through it all. He is with you. He is for you. And he's using this season to grow something deeper inside of you.
Yep. At Upward Running, this is where faith and fitness meet. And we'd love to run with you. You can join us at upwardrunning.com/kindoffast. That's upwardrunning.com/kindoffast. And if you use the code kindoffast, you get 2 weeks free to check it out. See what the guided runs are all about. See what the run club and Thursday Night Live is all about. And by using that code kindoffast, we know that you just signed up and you heard about it on the podcast, just like Jerry did here in the last week. And we really appreciate that.
We do. We will be back next Friday with another episode.
Yep. And go out there and leave us a review if you don't mind. We'd really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye. All right. Are we ready? It's not going to happen again. Welcome back to an episode of the Kinda Fast podcast. The podcast. The Kinda Fast podcast. I swear I will hold it together.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, hey. Did not want to work through that at all. All right, let's start the segment over.
Holy moly.
It was pretty good outside the times we were bad.